Morning, everyone. It's so good to be back and to just be able to get together around God's Word again this morning. Corner has been looking through Exodus for quite some time, so you're very familiar with the passages, I'm sure. But today I just want to look at something a little bit different. I want to look at the different prayers that Moses prayed and try and learn how he progressed from being a very simple person praying as almost childish prayers until he became someone who could actually storm the gates of heaven. And so we want to look at Moses' prayers this morning. Our reading this morning is then from Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 down to verse 6. Passage that you all are familiar with and know it, I'm sure. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire and within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I would go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, he called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. May the Lord bless that reading to us this morning. As we look at the different types of prayer that Moses prayed, most of us, I think, have a tendency to pray seriously only when we are really facing difficulties and problems. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy that certain challenges and difficulties may come upon him as he experienced walking with God. He made it clear that as Christians, we have an enemy of the soul, that we may be tempted to compromise or to become weary in well-doing, or we may even want to give up the faith. So prayer is a very important aspect to our walk with God, because this is the way that we connect with God and the way that he connects with us. So this morning I want to just eavesdrop on the prayers of Moses and see what we can learn from his different prayers. So let's just come to pray and just ask the Lord to help us before we look at this passage this morning. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord, for your grace made available to us at Calvary. Lord, you suffered anguish that we might have joy. You were separated from the Father that we might be accepted by him as a friend. You experienced hell that we might have heaven. You were stripped so that we could be clothed in your righteousness. You were tormented by Satan so that we could be comforted. Lord, you entered darkness so that we could experience the light. You wept tears so that ours could be wiped away. You died that we might live. And so, Lord, our prayer today is that you would help us, that we might love you above all else, that we might put you first in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by looking at this section that we just looked in, verses 1 to 6. And look at the various other chapters in Exodus to see what we can learn from Moses' prayer life. Someone once said that you cannot know a man what he is really like until you listen to the way that he talks when he is alone with God. It is in these things that we say to God when we are alone with him that reveals what is really in our hearts. It's wonderful then that we can eavesdrop on the prayers of this great man in the Bible. Fortunately, the Bible has recorded for us numerous prayers of his. He was the person who represented the law in the Old Testament. Without Moses, we would not have had the Ten Commandments or the five first books of the Bible. But the greatest thing I think about Moses, who as a baby began his life in a palace and finished in a desert, this man who shepherded sheep and then shepherded people, this man who spent 40 years learning all of the ways of Egypt, and then he had to spend another 40 years in the desert to unlearn everything that he had learned in Egypt. And then when he came to the end of himself, God appears to him in this burning bush. This man whose life work began at the age of 80 certainly gives me an encouragement to press on. One great thing about Moses was that he was a man of prayer. In one place we are told he was one of the most meek men in all of the earth. He was a man who says, "I've got no confidence in myself or in the flesh, but I've got all the confidence that you can have in God." He is a man who can tap into the resources of heaven when he prays. Now, in the book of Exodus, his prayers are mentioned numerous times in various things that happened to this great man during his life. You find him praying again and again, and there is a pattern of development in his prayers. The Reverend Stuart Briscoe once said, if you start off badly, before you will end up goodly. And I think that is a picture of Moses' prayer life. So I believe that we can learn different lessons from him this morning. Moses was a man who didn't start off too well, did he? But he grew in his commitment and in his understanding of God. If we were to pick out the different references to Moses' prayers from the scriptures and put them all together, you will see that there is a development in his prayer life and in his walk with God. Every prayer of Moses was a step forward in his spiritual development, in his understanding and getting to know God as he really is. So we want to look at these different things in Moses' experience, and we will see what we can learn from him for our own lives. We see how Moses started off with simple childlike prayers. Then we see how he grew into a mature man who knew how to storm the gates of heaven. In Exodus chapter 33 and verses 11, at the end of that prayer, he says this: "The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend." I think when that can be said of your prayer life and of mine, we will have arrived at a place where God actually wants us to be. Now, how does God speak to us today? He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, who interprets the word to our hearts and opens our eyes so that we can understand it. He reveals the truth of God to us through his word. And so that is the way God speaks to us today. And how do we commune with God? We speak to him. Now, the first prayer of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4 is the story of the burning bush that we've just read. He was keeping sheep out there in the middle of the desert. And in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look at this amazing sight, God calls out to him from this burning bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses answered and he said, "Here I am." And God said, "Do not come any closer. Take off the sandals off your feet where you are standing. It is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I'm sure when Moses' mother took care of him as a child in Pharaoh's palace, she must have taught him how to pray. Look at what happened to him at his birth. He should have certainly been thrown to the crocodiles, as Pharaoh had wanted all the baby boys of Hebrew boys under the age of 2 years old to be destroyed and drowned or eaten by the crocodiles. But because his mother was a woman of prayer, a woman who trusted God, we discover that Moses was miraculously saved. And so we see three things in Moses' prayer at the burning bush. There are three R's: a response to God. When we teach our children, we teach them how to talk to God. But there comes a day when they really have to make a decision for God. It's when God speaks to them through his word. And when you hear his word and you hear him calling to you through his word, that's the way he speaks to us, and you have to reply or respond to what he is saying to you. That's the day when prayer really becomes real prayer. You may have said prayers for many years in your life before that, but the day God actually speaks to your heart and calls you through his word, as he did with Moses, and you reply to him, "Lord, what do you want to say to me?" That's the response that Moses made to God. And the second thing that we see about this prayer is that it was the beginning of an intimate relationship with God for Moses. It was the beginning of a relationship that his father had enjoyed and his grandfather had enjoyed, but he certainly never had it up until that time. Even though he was 80 years old, he had never had this relationship with God in the same way. And now God steps into his life and he says, I knew your father and I knew your grandfather. And they talked to me and I talked to them. And now I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And you can pray for years and years, but you do not have a close relationship with God. And that was Moses' experience. Now Moses speaks to God, not as someone out there, but when God calls you and you respond to that call, that is when prayer really becomes real prayer. And the first thing that becomes evident is that Moses had a reverence for God. Moses was afraid to look at God, and he hid his face because God is so awesome and so holy. And when you're reverent in your prayers, then you've reached the place of real prayer. I think too often we rush into God's presence sometimes as if God was just a supermarket. And we have all of our shopping lists ready and we hand them over, all of our wants and our needs. But when Moses really met God, we see that he was afraid to talk. He was just overcome by God's presence. And if we really meet God, there comes a day in our experience when we actually fear God. We fear God, we have a reverence for God, and that changes us completely. We suddenly see him for who he really is. We suddenly realize we are not talking to just a mere human being. We are talking to the creator of the universe, the judge of all. And this reverent fear gripped his heart, and that was his first prayer, a prayer that responded to God. It was a prayer that began this amazing relationship that he had with God. And so Moses had learned the three R's of prayer. First of all, reverence for God. Secondly, a response to God. And thirdly, it brought about a relationship that he had with God. Then over in chapter 3 and verse 10, God answers his prayer. And he says to him, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. If you say to God, Lord, here I am, and you really mean it, and then you'll discover that God will actually speak to you through his word. If you really are ready to say to God, here I am, here's my life, do with me what you want to do with me, Lord, you will soon find out what he wants to do with you. Now, before we look at a few short prayers here in chapter 3 and verse 4, which are typical, I think, of all young beginners in the Christian faith, those who are just coming to know the Lord, beginner's prayers. And here we see there are a series of questions that Moses puts to God. When new believers come to the Lord, we are all of us, we're full of questions. Why is this? Why is that? How does this actually apply to me? So full of questions. And so that is characteristic of a person who is just beginning to have a relationship with Almighty God. Full of questions, and above all, questions about themselves. Now God says to Moses, now Moses, that I've got your attention, I want to send you to Egypt to bring my people out of. And here are a series of questions that Moses actually asked God in chapter 3 verses 11. Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the Israelites from Egypt? That was a prayer, wasn't it? But it was also a question. And the next one we can see in verse 13. Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what will I tell them? And then the next question in chapter 4, verses 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And then there's another prayer in chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow in speech and tongue. And then in verse 13 of chapter 4, Moses said, O Lord, send someone else to do this job. Now, if we look at these five little prayers, each of them is Moses trying to actually wriggle out of what God is asking him to do. And aren't they so much like ourselves, our prayers when we first start off as a new believer? Moses is making 5 excuses why he can't do what God is asking him to do. Number one, he is saying, I'm insignificant. No one is going to take any notice of me. That's just how we feel sometimes when God calls us to do something, isn't it? When God says to you, go and speak to your neighbor about me so that they too can enjoy heaven one day, and you feel totally inadequate in and of yourself. Secondly, we see that he says, I'm ignorant. I don't know what to say. Aren't you conscious of your ignorance when God calls you to do something? And the third thing, I can't convince people. I can't persuade them to believe that you have spoken to me. And then fourthly, he says, I'm incompetent. I can't find the words to say. Fifthly, I feel irrelevant. I'm a nobody. I can only look after sheep. Why are you choosing me? Rather choose somebody else. And so we hear these excuses, don't we? So many times on different people's lips, even our own from time to time. How often when we ask somebody to do something for the Lord and for the kingdom, they come up with all kinds of excuses. I can't speak. Will you pray? Oh, no, I can't pray. I can't say anything. I don't know what to say. You know, God patiently went through all of these 5 little prayers with Moses, and he replied to each of them. Moses said, who am I? God said, it doesn't really matter who you are, Moses. You see, it doesn't matter who you are as long as God is with you, as long as I am with you, says the Lord. Wherever you go to speak for me, it doesn't matter who you are, because it's me, it's not you, that's important. You don't need to be great or famous as long as God is with you. That's all you need, is the Lord to be with you. God and you are a majority in any situation. He will provide you with the words that you need to say. And Moses said, what shall I say? And God said, just tell them what I tell you to say. And Moses said, they won't believe. And so what God said in essence is this, Moses, I'm going to show you that I am with you. And Moses said, I'm not eloquent. And perhaps God reminds him that God actually created his mouth. Isn't that amazing? He is saying that I can't speak. And God is saying to him, I will put into your mouth what you have to say. Because you're afraid, Moses, God said, I will send someone along with you to help you. You see, God is very patient and very kind with us, isn't he? I'm sure that we have all felt like saying to the Lord, Lord, can't you just send someone else? Now, in his prayer, he has reached the point of being honest with God. All the other 4 prayers were just simply excuses. And finally, he gives God the real reason for his excuses. And he says to the Lord, I want you to send somebody else. I really am afraid to go. And that's the most common response, I think, when God calls most of us. Most common response to the call of God, perhaps to the mission field or into ministry or whatever it might be, is, Lord, can't you send my brother? We're just like Moses. And that is what Moses was saying here. Lord, I would much rather you choose someone else for this difficult job. And at that point, it seems that God lost his patience a little bit with Moses, and God said something like this, Moses, I've called you. Stop making all of these excuses. And perhaps God is saying that to you today. Your prayers are full of questions, full of excuses. Someone once said that God doesn't give us the jobs that we are fit for. He fits us for the jobs that he gives us. I want to just say that again. God doesn't give us the jobs that we are fit for. He fits us for the jobs that he gives us. And so God said to Moses, I'm sending you. Now, at that stage of prayer, someone once called it the self-conscious stage of prayer. He started off fearful of God, but his fear didn't drive him to obedience at the beginning. He even got over his fear of God, and he actually started to question God. And the problem with all those prayers is that they were all about I, all about himself. You see, that is in all of his prayers at the first. They are full of self. I can't do this. Who will take any notice of me? I'm not eloquent, and Moses will have to learn to get out of that kind of praying. So self-conscious that he can only think of his own weaknesses and his own excuses. Now we come to the third prayer in chapter 5. And here we get a prayer that is impatient. The story is very simple, you all know it. The children of Israel, who Moses had been trying to help, were now placed in a much worse position because as soon as Pharaoh heard that they were trying to go into the desert and perhaps escape, he made their work twice as difficult. He had them make bricks without straw. The bricks were so much heavier. They had to dig out more clay. They had to work longer hours, and their taskmasters beat them to work harder. And you can imagine how they must have slaved, having to lift all those heavy clay bricks and to work those long hours. And so the people came to Moses and they said, "Moses, your interfering in our business has made our situation so much worse." That happens to us today, doesn't it, from time to time? Haven't you experienced this? When you try to help somebody come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and their troubles double. Everything seems to go wrong. And who do they blame? So Moses prayed in chapter 5 and verse 22. Here's this honest prayer, but it's an impatient prayer. In chapter 5 verse 22 he says, "O Lord, why have you brought this trouble upon this people? Is this why you have sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." You can see Moses' frustration, can't you? Do you know what Moses is doing in this prayer? He's actually accusing God of causing more trouble for them in their particular situation. I wonder, excuse me. He's accusing God of making more trouble for them. I wonder if we've done that. But we here see that Moses is getting a bit bolder with God. And he's telling God, "Lord, if only you had listened to me, if only you had listened to what I said and had not sent me at all, you would not have got us into this mess." You see, it's a prayer, but it's still the wrong kind of prayer, isn't it? It's still Moses battling against God, still Moses resisting God's will. It's still Moses saying, this isn't the right way to deal with this particular situation. And so often we find ourselves in that kind of predicament in our ministry or in our work. And we say to the Lord, "Lord, you've got the wrong person." And his prayer reflects his complaining of how badly he's done by. Aren't we like Moses sometimes? We feel a bit hard done by following the Lord. It's not quite what we expected it to be. In chapter 6 and verse 12 he goes on, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'If they will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips?'" In simple English, I think Moses is saying, "I'm not Jewish enough to please Israel, and I'm certainly not Egyptian enough to please Pharaoh. So why, Lord, did you choose me for this job?" I'm sure all of us have said that to God at some time. I'm not suited for this job. "Lord, you made a mistake in calling me to be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a preacher or whatever else he might call you to do. Lord, you made a mistake to put me in this office because I'm not the right person to deal with the people in this office." I wonder if you've ever spoken to God like that before. "I'm really not the right one for this situation." And you know what God says to Moses? "Moses, don't you know that I'm the one who's in charge? I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. And when the right time comes, you will see that you are the right person for the job. I'm the God of the past. I'm the God of the present and the God of the future." And God is saying to Moses, "You need to get a bigger perspective, Moses. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about my glory. I can see the past, the present, the future. But you have got so bogged down in the present and all you can see is yourself. Moses, I know what I'm doing." Now comes the fourth stage of Moses' prayer. And God started to send the plagues on Pharaoh. And now there's an amazing change that takes place. I'd really not seen this before until I really looked at this passage again. And now Moses prays that God will actually save Pharaoh from the plagues. In chapter 8 and verse 12, after Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord, "Lord, about the frogs that he had brought on Pharaoh." And Moses left Pharaoh and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Pharaoh asked. And the flies left Pharaoh and the officials and his people. Not a fly remained. That's quite amazing, isn't it? And then in chapter 9, verse 33, and Moses left Pharaoh, went out of the city, spread his hands out towards the Lord, and the thunder stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. And then in chapter 10 and verse 19, Moses left Pharaoh, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. And not a single locust was left anywhere in Egypt. Now those are two remarkable things about these four prayers that Moses prayed. This is the first record of Moses praying for someone else other than himself. In all his prayers up until now, he had been so wrapped up in himself. He had a concern for Israel, but he was really still more concerned about his own situation and about himself. And so Pharaoh said to Moses, "Moses, you pray for me. I believe if you pray to your God for me, it will help. And so Moses went and prayed on Pharaoh's behalf to God. And the other thing that is amazing about this prayer is this. He prays for what is impossible with men, but is absolutely possible for God to do. It shows that Moses' faith was now growing in the God that he believed in and served. The God who caused that bush to burn and not to be consumed was the same God who was controlling the frogs and the flies and the locusts and the thunder and the hail and the rain. And so when you and I learn to pray like that, to pray about the weather and actually expect God to do something and to change it, that's his faith being developed. Praying for his enemies, that's a real prayer. Moses is now learning the kind of prayer that Elijah prayed when he prayed and the rain would stop, and it stopped for 3.5 years, and it was started again by Elijah's prayer. You see, God hasn't changed, has he? He's the same yesterday, for today, and forever. Now for the first time, we see that Moses is praying for someone else. When we really start praying for others, we have taken a step forward in our prayer life. He had got away from his own self-consciousness of always saying, "It's about me, it's about I." Now he's saying, "Lord, will you save Pharaoh?" He's concerned about Pharaoh. "Have mercy on him." That's what he's asking. He works in people's lives in ways that no man can explain. But Moses had to learn that it wasn't about him, but it was about God's glory. Moses had come a long way from the first feeble excuses that he had been making to God to where he is now. Now he really knows who God is and what God can do. If only you believe in him and put your trust in him and pray according to God's will. And what is God's will? God's will is that all men should be saved. Not that all men will be saved, but that is God's desire. God wants all men to be saved. Just as Jesus prayed when he went into Jerusalem, you remember, when he looked over the city and he wept. And he said, "How often wouldn't I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not come. And so the next stage of Moses' prayer is in chapter 15. Some people would say this is not a prayer at all because it doesn't ask for a single thing for himself. There is no requests in his prayer at all. There are no arguments and no excuses. In chapter 15 from verses 1 down to 18, it's all praise and thanksgiving. Verse 13 says, Moses says to God, he says, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." What's happened to Moses? After coming to the Red Sea, after taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, what happened? They were celebrating and rejoicing in their escape from Egypt. And what happens? The next thing is that they're confronted with the Red Sea. And Moses' understanding came from that experience. And he experienced the miraculous deliverance that God brought upon them. Standing there in front of the Red Sea, there was no way of escape. There was a mountain on the right side and the desert on the left, and the Red Sea in front of them. And there was the enemy of, there was the Egyptians pursuing them. And there was no way out. And so he found himself in this impossible situation where he could not move forward, sideways, up or down. And there was the enemy closing in upon them at the rear. They were trapped, and only God could deliver them. Moses was learning to trust God. And Moses said to the people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Can you imagine standing still in those kind of circumstances? No way to escape with the army in hot pursuit coming to destroy you. And so this is a change in Moses' experience. And now Moses, having crossed over the sea, we see his prayer then is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, and he knows now the God that he serves. That is what I call the highest point in Moses' prayer life. And all of his prayers from that moment on are very different from the prayers that he started out with. It is the watershed in his prayer life. And I think that God works exactly in the same way with you and me. He brings us to the place in our lives where we can't go forward and we can't go sideways. We can't go up or down. We can't go back. And there is nowhere that we can lean on. And that is where we learn to pray. And that is where we no longer focus on ourselves, but we realize it's all about God and it's about his glory. And our focus now is entirely on God. My prayer for you and for myself this morning is that God will bless each and every one of us in our walk with the Lord today and teach us how to really pray. May you and I come to that place in our lives where we have no more questions, no more requests, nothing but praise and love and thanksgiving for Almighty God for bringing us through and helping us out of so many impossible situations. That is where Moses learned to pray, and that's where we learn to pray. And that is where we learn to walk with God. And so our focus will be on God and not on ourselves, because he is the one who has planned our lives from beginning to end. And so he knows exactly what he is doing to conform us into his image, because that is God's purpose, is to make us like him. And so as we think of these things now, we come to the end of our time together, but we also want to just invite you, after we sing the next hymn, to join us around the Lord's table. We remind you again that we need to examine our lives when we do that, to make sure that we are in right standing with God, and we'll look at that in a moment. But let's come now as we close with our final hymn. Hymn number 571, Jesus, the blood, thy blood and righteousness. And so we sing this wonderful hymn before we come to the Lord's table.